This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Arlene McMichael. It was in 2016 that the world first learned of sexual assault allegations against former Michigan State University and USA gymnastic sports doctor Larry Nassar. One of the first sexual abuse survivors to come forward was Sterling Reithman. She tells me she never suspected that what Nassar had done to her was anything other than legitimate medical treatment. Reithman speaks in Battle Creek on April 17th.
I had this assumption that if you were a victim of sexual assault, that it was a very violent, traumatic experience, meaning physically violent. I had this impression that it would happen in dark alleys and you would be caught off guard and you would walk away with scars and bruises and wind up in the hospital. And through going through this process, you quickly realize that that's not the case. In fact, statistically speaking, that's actually the minority of cases. And so that was something that was really difficult to come to terms with, that this was something that he used his place of trust and his place of power to manipulate us and to convince us that what he was doing was for our own good and for our own benefit. And it just shows how completely delusional and manipulative and terrible his actions were, because he deceived what we now know to be hundreds upon hundreds of girls and their parents.
I recently interviewed Sterling Reithman in advance of her upcoming keynote address for the 23rd anniversary dinner of sexual assault services in Battle Creek. The extended version of this interview can be found at our website or through the WMUK app and WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple iTunes and Google Music. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to join.
In early 2017, you decided to come forward. What prompted you to do this?
It was interesting for me. I became aware of the case the day that it broke with the Indy Star article from with Rachel Denhollander's story. And I followed the developments of the case throughout the fall of 2016. And after I had come forward and filed my case with my lawyers and with the Michigan State Police Department, I felt the sense of empowerment in telling my story, even just to police detectives and lawyers. And I felt, it's hard to describe, but I honestly just felt compelled to continue to tell that story to hopefully empower others to do the same. And so it was a very surreal and very bizarre feeling. But it honestly wasn't really a question for me as to whether or not I would come forward publicly. And I was actually teammates with Rachel Denhollander when I was younger. And so I remember within minutes of me coming forward, I received a message from Rachel of just encouragement and support and thanking me for coming forward and in support of everyone finding justice.
What I wanted to highlight is how long you actually knew Dr. Larry Nassar. You came to know him at age 10, but the abuse did not start until you say you're around age 20. At that time, were you a diver at Denison University in Ohio? And how does that relate to Michigan State University? Like, how did you get there? Or did it happen in both places?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a gymnast my whole life. I started gymnastics when I was 2 years old, and I was completely ingrained in the sport. I quickly became competitive in the sport, and as the world has quickly learned, when you become a competitive gymnast, several injuries follow. And so I originally met Larry right around when I was 10 years old. I was having a lot of knee injuries and foot injuries, things like that. And then when I went to high school, I actually transitioned from gymnastics to diving, wound up getting recruited to go to Denison University in Ohio, and I dove there. And while there, I experienced a very traumatic back injury, and I wasn't finding any luck with other doctors that I had seen down in Ohio. And so I decided to come back and go to see Larry. He ran a sports medicine clinic out of Michigan State University, which is where I saw him when I was a gymnast. And so we decided to go back and see him to see if he could fix my back injury. And as we all know, that was not the case.
You were trusting him as your physician, that this was a treatment that he was doing for you that would be for your benefit. At what point did your mind change on that? Was it when the story came out?
When the IndyStar article broke, initially I was incredibly confused because I was reading the article and the experience that Rachel described as her experience was the exact same treatment that I had received. And I never once had thought that it was sexual assault. I never once had thought that it would be something that he was doing for his own benefit as opposed to mine. But I didn't know how to reconcile that with what I was reading. And so I actually ended up doing some research on my own, just through basic internet searches, really, to find out what the protocol for pelvic floor treatment should be. And it was through doing that that I discovered that, yes, pelvic floor treatment is a very real thing. It's a very real treatment. But what he was doing was not that. And he was not following protocol. And it became very, very clear to me that what he was doing was sexual assault and that he was not doing it to help me. He was doing it for his own pleasure and his own gratification. And I quickly realized that that's when I made the decision that I had to come forward and I had to get involved with the legal process because I had trusted him completely to heal me and to fix my back injury, and he failed to do so.
In the extended version, Reithman says healing has been difficult.
You know, PTSD is a very real thing for trauma survivors, and it can catch you off guard when you least expect it, and particularly with a case that has been as publicized as our case. So when you read headlines that will catch you off guard, or you'll be scrolling through social media and you'll see a picture of his face. So it's everywhere.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sterling Reithman is the keynote speaker for the April 17th Sexual Assault Services 23rd Anniversary Dinner. She is one of the first sexual abuse survivors of Dr. Larry Nassar to publicly reveal her identity. For more information about the event and a longer version of this interview, visit WMUK.org. You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest podcast through Apple iTunes and Google Music. For WMUK's West Southwest Brief, I'm Earlene McMichael.